much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Uncle Jeff.
Why do you think I'm here?
To wish me a speedy recovery?
No. Wishes belong in the bottom of a well with unwanted girl children.
One person walked into a room when he was supposed to go this way, and he said he was going this way, and he walked in and he went this way, and everyone said, what happened? What was that all about? Boy, oh boy. Hey, who was that? I don't know. I don't want to be controversial, so I won't use his name, okay? What a mess. But it's all happening anyway.
You know, for a guy with a wife, you sure do talk about making love to men a lot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is a new low.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You party pooper, buzzkill, boo!
Right?
Roll another one.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Just like the other one.
Big, thick.
What? This one seems to be about quit.
Why do you use offensive
language? And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
to shine. Let's shine.
Yes, we love the radio.
That song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Oui, oui, mademoiselle.
Let's pass it around. And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Say white.
Let's just pass it on down.
And now,
call Kenny Loggins, because you're in the danger zone.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 28th of September.
Yeah.
Jensen, tell us about your drive-in.
Listen, I kind of hid something from you guys when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't late, per se, but I was, like, right on time.
Uh-huh. Why?
I normally have an 8-minute drive. That was what I've been doing.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. It's a dream. I just moved, so it's about a 30-minute drive.
Okay.
And today was my first run-through.
Okay.
And last night, my fiance, in a very sweet way, said, put it into Waze. Put it in that you need to get there at 5:30.
Uh-huh.
And I said, absolutely. So I put it in. It says 28 minutes. I go, oh, all right, perfect. Set up my time.
Oh, no.
My doctor's office is on the same exact street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I used, like, prior locations.
Right.
Ah.
I pulled up at my doctor's office.
This morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just now?
Yeah, like eight to 10 minutes before I was supposed to get here.
Was it at least a high rise so it looked
similar?
It's
right here. It looks like, I mean, my point is, I'm not even looking at the buildings.
Right.
I'm just looking straight down at my Waze.
Right.
So I'm like, here.
Okay.
Look up.
Yeah.
I could have been in Tucson.
So
I didn't even know.
It would have been a better story if you were in Tucson.
Well, that's true.
I got to be honest.
So when you emailed me or texted me and
said,
it's going to be around 5:30, and I said, don't go to the third floor, joking around, because who would do something
dumb? Don't be ridiculous.
Kevin, yesterday. You went to a totally different building.
Yeah, I was at Dr. Sarkisian's.
Okay.
I thought about doing a quick walk-in.
All right.
I see.
Wasn't there.
Wow.
Maybe a quick check on maybe a throat issue I've been having. But no, he wasn't in. And so I just went, oh, and I switched quickly into this address, and uh-huh. I went through a red light.
Oh.
Did a bunch of things that I probably, looking back, can't become a Supreme Court justice because of.
Yeah.
But I am proud that I was still able to get here at the same time, even from a new location that almost, you know, quadruples my time.
Did great. Oh, I assumed crazy. When you said you put in the address, I thought you were headed to Fairfax and Venice.
Oh, for sure. Wouldn't that have been the best?
That would have been the best.
Still one of us. It's going to happen to one of us.
For sure. Yeah.
And it wasn't me, but...
It's just one of those things where your mind just clicks, turns off, and just you know where you're going. You go, you end up at your doctor's office.
Yeah, I was driving to the office. Not a problem.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Just
it's okay.
Checking in the waiting room.
All right.
I'm going to do the show from that office eventually.
Might as well.
From Dr. Sarkeesian.
Yeah. Does he have little candies in a bowl?
Listen, maybe just as many people are listening.
Lollipop?
Yeah.
Look, we got blinds.
I saw that.
A new place. It's a new studio. The first week, blinds.
Let it be known, you can no longer look at us weirdly from the kitchen.
And that's the weird thing is the room right next to our studio is an actual kitchen where everyone in the building goes to get their coffee or whatever they eat, heat stuff up in the microwave. And there's nothing for them to look at, except for in here.
Yeah.
And that's odd.
It took some weird turns, for sure. I was like, anyone know who that guy is? And then we'd kind of glance over, and he didn't care that he was staring, continued staring. Mm. Still no idea who that one dude was, but boy, he gave me the creeps.
Just sitting there eating ribs.
Yeah, that was odd, right?
That was odd.
Just licking his fingers.
Barbecue sauce all over
his shirt.
What about
the guy that came back and forth like 30 times? What about that guy? I don't want to mention anyone, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
5 minutes later, that person's there again.
It's
all
a
right,
lot.
Another 5 minutes. What's happening?
Yeah.
Do you have a job?
I think the answer was no. Also, we won't say his name, but his name fits exactly the kind of like vibe that you're giving off. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like it was creepy, but we've saved the day.
Right.
The blinds are here, you guys.
Finally got the blinds.
I don't know anyone that will be happier than Kat Corbett.
Yeah, she hated that.
Because
too.
Not only did she hate people looking in, when Kat comes in for her shift, the lights all go down. Like, it's almost darkness in here.
So we can tell the level of hangover that she has by how dark it gets.
She really does she make it in. Virgin Airlines in here.
Yes.
It really is.
Compared to what we have, which is your local Rite Aid.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Very true. I like it.
So I'm happy to have those, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you got to check in on your doctor.
You know what?
It's
you just got to always check in if there's even a small tickle in your throat, no matter what time it is.
Yeah.
It is odd. This is a new time for me to start getting into any work. And it is odd to work before the gym's open.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
It's an odd feeling.
Yeah, those people that are going to the gym super early think they're getting such a jump on life. And we're like, we're driving past you half an hour ago. Losers.
That makes us feel better about not exercising,
too.
Well, I feel like it is exercising. Because I always remember my whole life, I was always like, oh, those people who get to the gym so early. Oh, I can't believe, what time is that? And then now I've learned it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Firsthand.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to the gym.
Yeah, I mean, I consider this a bit of a verbal gymnastics.
Okay, sure.
Oh. A little bit of mouth yoga.
All right, I don't need that.
Mouth yoga.
No.
Is it mouth hot yoga?
Mm. That's how Michael Douglas got throat cancer.
All right. Good Lord, Jensen.
Yoga. That's quite a stop.
Yeah. Why? Sorry. On his birthday week.
That's right. That is Jensen Karp. He's filling in for Bean this week, who's on vacation. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Keep it 100 because it's Friday.
Woo.
Well, it's Friday.
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. It's Friday. It's Friday. You're in the wrong room,
Jensen,
for that.
Well, I have to live.
Why don't you go back to your doctor's office?
Well, listen, he at least would be celebrating Friday.
No, Allie, he wouldn't.
Allie, the dream interpreter, on the program today.
Excellent.
She does good work. Greg Plotkin, who is the director of a movie called Hellfest.
Ah.
Can't wait for that.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's those mazes and scary haunts you go to.
Yes.
But someone there is actually murdering, and everyone thinks it's part of the scary haunt.
Right.
Yeah.
Until they're dead.
Did you see how realistic that guy's death was?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
So now it's another level of fear is all I'm saying, as you go to those haunts.
I'd like to suggest, if you've become at all used to the Southern California parks around that do Halloween stuff, maybe see this movie or look at
Even
it in
scarier.
A whole new light. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember... a decade ago, maybe 15 years ago, you used to be able to go to Six Flags, whatever that horror.
Magic Mountain?
Yeah, the horror, you know, whatever, like that. That or even the one at Universal, Horror Nights.
Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest.
Yes, yes. You used to go to those things and you used to be able to wear costumes and a mask.
Oh, right.
And that went away quick.
Oh, yeah, that seemed like a bad idea.
And I don't want to know why it went away.
Yeah, I think we all know.
911 is a joke on today's show. We did some research on all of our Amazon accounts.
Yeah.
To see how much we spent and on what.
Yeah, there's a way you can check nowadays how much you've spent since 2006. Some eye-opening stuff happened, guys. I went through it alone last night.
Yeah, because you had to send it to you, and now I'm concerned.
It's frightening.
This staff has some scary things going on.
Excellent.
So we'll go through that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Drew Doughty from the LA Kings.
Woo.
We have there's some new fashion things that I don't understand at all.
Pants?
No.
Oh.
This is weird even by fashion standards.
Oh.
So I'll tell you about that coming up. We've got Cheers with Beer Mug. And we're still giving away tickets to the advanced screening of Venom as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next. K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54. Alan McKay is here with a look at what's happening.
Well, season 44 this weekend of Saturday Night Live. We know that Adam Driver is hosting. We know that Kanye West is the musical performer. Either of you going to be tuning in?
I always record Saturday Night Live in case I hear something's great, and then most of the time I don't watch it.
Okay.
Same. But I will watch for the Kanye.
I would watch Kanye.
I thought you might watch.
Who had
Kanye.
Quite a weird day yesterday and was completely overshadowed by the Kavanaugh trial.
Yeah, but, true.
I mean, he showed up to Fader to do a talk about his new record and showed up in a new Make America Great Again hat and a Colin Kaepernick sweatshirt at the same time that he designed.
Wow.
And talked about how he wished Louis C.K. was hosting SNL. This is a nightmare.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's very layered. He just does this crap, so we'll talk about him. And quite frankly,
I think he stumbled on being right the day before on Instagram about the likes and stuff, and then he had to quickly turn that around.
Too many likes.
Right. People enjoyed hearing from him too much for
exactly.
a few seconds.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, we now know the following 2 weeks who the hosts and musical guests will be. The following week, which is the second episode of the season, October 6th, you will see Crazy Rich Asian star Awkwafina hosting and Travis Scott as musical guest. That's big.
Yeah,
I mean, no one really knew who she was until this movie.
That is quite a big get, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge for her.
Yeah.
And then the following week, which I thought this was odd, he's never hosted SNL before. However, it's a homecoming of sorts. He was the head writer and Weekend Update anchor for so long. Late night host Seth Meyers.
I guess
Has never hosted.
Huh. No.
Yeah, so he will be making his debut host, and he's got a pretty good musical guest. Paul Simon with him. That's not bad.
One of Lorne's close pals.
Yeah.
It is.
Is
this
really?
Is like Paul's coming. You know what I mean?
Is that how he...
My good pal, Paul.
He alerts everyone.
That's a terrible Lorne.
I wouldn't
It's better
know.
Than either of us do.
You know what you have to do? You have to go from Dr. Evil to Lorne. So
okay.
$1 billion. That's good.
Okay.
Then Paul Simon's my friend. Okay. See, if you go that way, it works out.
All right.
Works. Can't go the other way,
You
though.
Just need to run up on it.
Yep. Like you got to pull the mic away, do whisper it, $1 billion, and then come back, and then do the... Yeah. Just let you know.
That's a good lesson right
little
there.
Little pull back of the curtain.
Yeah. We just got to see his whole method right there.
Good
that
times.
Was amazing to watch.
I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to this, though,
Paul,
so I can practice.
Paul Simon's my friend. Nope.
There not there
oh,
yet.
Then you go back, you get $1 billion. Uh-huh. Perfect. Paul Simon's my... Nope. See,
You have to work on that.
It's okay.
Report back Monday. That's
morning.
All right.
You're still at your doctor's
right
now. No one's listening before 6. We
Dang
don't go live until then.
Yeah.
I would like to take a trip down Conspiracy Jensen. We used to call it Conspiracy Alley because I tend to have a lot of questions about things. I like to poke holes in things. Mm-hmm. You poked holes in this yesterday. It seems like a very complicated work situation, ex situation. 2 days after FKA Twigs was spotted taking what looked like a romantic walk with Shia LaBeouf.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, Shia LaBeouf, but he's married. Oh, he apparently just filed for divorce.
Mm.
Couple days after seeing them together, FKA Twigs' ex-fiance Robert Pattinson was photographed with Shia LaBeouf's estranged wife, Mia Goth. So they did like a flipperoony.
Like a wife swap.
A wife swap.
A celebrity wife swap.
Wow.
But you think...
Man, I think it's some art. Sounds like some art to me.
Really?
I started a bit of my comedy career by making fun of Shia LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. You could Google it. I won't explain it. But I have turned into a bit of a Shia LaBeouf fan.
Okay.
I think his art... Cannibal Shia LaBeouf. I think his art is actually pretty good.
All right.
It's weird stuff. He like drives around, picks random people up, or he goes to a movie theater and watches all his movies without any breaks with
Yeah, he's a strange dude, but I could never get a beat on whether he was really truly artistic or just acting weird.
I think he's fun. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think he's a blast. And so this sounds like some art.
You think this is an art piece, movable, living in action?
I think it would be funny if then now another couple is like, he just starts flipping them around.
Yes.
Like he really messes with Us Weekly in that way. Is such a fun art project.
Oh, I don't hate it.
All right.
I need it to be real.
I mean, I don't know that that's real. That's just his. Yeah. You know,
if anyone wants to ever have a defense of Shia LaBeouf, I'm here.
Okay.
I really am. I think his art's pretty good.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
It can't be right all the time, so that's cool.
That's true. Get up off that.
Some birthdays for you. Singer St. Vincent, Dita Von Teese, Bam Margera, Mira Sorvino, Naomi Watts, and Hilary Duff. And that's what's happening.
Just after 7 o'clock, Drew Doughty from the LA Kings will be on the program. Right now, Beer Mugs is here. Good morning, Mugs.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Smells like alcohol.
How dare you?
I think he may have taped one of his segments.
Did you indeed do Cheers?
I did Cheers with Beer Mug and went back to my local haunt, O'Grady's in Granada Hills.
Now, everyone there knows you, I assume?
It's just like
or at least your name?
Just like the television show, Cheers. Okay. Yeah. They know my name. They make me feel welcome every time I come in.
I thought you were going to say like the show Shameless.
How dare you?
So you show up. How many people are there normally?
It ranges, you know, it depends.
Because you go on a weeknight.
I always go on a weeknight. So Wednesday nights, it fills out usually around 8:30, 9 o'clock. Thursday nights are a little bit more busy. And Tuesday nights are kind of dead, so I usually end up going at the end of the week.
I like Mugs knows every single night sure how does. Busy it
every
is.
Single one. He has an app on his phone that shows him the camera inside the bar to let him know how many people are there.
What was the topic this week?
The topic this week was if you have ever gotten into a bar fight.
Never gotten into a bar fight. Talking to people in a bar, that's smart.
Yep,
that's
and
a good idea.
You know, coming from my recent ejection from a softball game, it wasn't in a bar, it was on a softball field.
Right.
I was in the fighting, I was in the ornery, you know, the mood. So
fighting mood, which never ends up in a fight, by the way.
Right.
Go ahead.
But so I wanted to see if anybody else would ever came to fisticuffs anywhere.
All right. It's time for Cheers with Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
I mean, that's a good thought. That's a good question. It's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Always well asked.
Sure. And here it is. Cheers with Bugs.
Have you ever been in a bar fight?
And one time we were in this bar, and he asked somebody, where's the bathroom? And he pointed into the bathroom. But he didn't know they sent him into the ladies' room. And I see these two guys next to me laughing. Hey, did you see I sent that guy in the ladies' room? And I says, you blank, blank, blank. I says, you better be happy you didn't send me in the ladies' room. Next thing you know, we get into this big fist fight, me and my friend John Campbell. And we knock the crap out of these guys. And they're all looking at us. And I looked at John and I reached down. And I patted his ass. I says, come on, honey, let's go. And we walked out the bar.
Good to see Tony Soprano still alive and well.
I was thinking how weird that the guy from Bar Rescue was there. Like, what?
Oh, he's good with little veiled homophobia at the end, too.
Yeah, always.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty badass. I have a question for you, Tiff. Yes, yes, yes. Have you ever been to a bar fight?
Yes, I choke bitches out.
Oh.
All the time.
Oh, my.
Have you ever been in a bar fight?
Bar fight. At what age? I mean, I guess you had to be at least 21, right? All I knew was I was young. Somebody else's lady was dancing with me, and the rest was history, man.
You want to fight, Nico? You want to get into a bar fight right now?
You're tiny, bro. I will for sure take you.
Nah, you got like 70 pounds on me.
How dare you call me fat, Nico?
I said it's pure. It's just like dormant muscle, bro. I have been involved in a bar fight, I guess. I don't know. Someone like punched one of my friends. Literally walked in a bar, punched somebody I thought was my friend that wasn't even my friend. And everyone in the bar proceeded to jump the guy that punched my friend. Actually, at this very bar. And I might have kicked him like once, but he was acting crazy.
That wasn't a good night at the bar.
For me, it was. That guy got knocked the f*** out, though.
Have you ever gotten into a bar fight?
No, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Good lady. I'm here with Monty.
I love you, man.
You've never been in a bar fight, right?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, you're right. No, I'm just kidding.
You've been into a bar fight, Monty? Really?
Absolutely not. Yes, absolutely. I have.
What?
I was at a bar. Oh, yeah. Oh. The best memories of my life because all the chicks digged it.
So did you punch a guy in the face, Monty?
No. I wasn't crazy. I wasn't. We'd put our chair, you know, we'd walk forward. It would never get to that point. Of course not.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, God.
I almost drank the microphone.
Wow.
I'm not sure whether Monty...
So Monty was a yes or a no.
No idea.
There's no way you'll ever know.
After 45 minutes of an answer, we can't figure it out.
His brain cells were bar fighting.
You guys into fashion much? When they do the Fashion Week in Milan, New York?
I mean, are you looking at us?
I mean, right.
I wear a t-shirt and jeans pretty much with sneakers every day.
That's way, way more dress up than me.
Yeah, you are technically the closest thing I know to Bart Simpson.
So
we're the same thing every day.
So there's been a fashion week. One is in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
And Gucciano Calza, the co-founder and creative director of GCDS, sent a model down the runway with three breasts.
What?
All apparently prosthetic.
Like Total Recall.
Three boots. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
They actually mentioned that in what they were talking about is that and then his explanation also cracks me up, which is 2 years ago, my mom had breast cancer and I was like, oh, and it was such a wake up call of what the future is going to be about. So I put all my strength into offering an imaginary world where I could express myself. Three breasts is not only a Total Recall homage, but also a political statement. In a moment when culture and art need more feeding than ever, three breasts might be useful.
That is a reach.
Right?
I had you, Total Recall. I even had you with breast cancer. But the world needs feeding. I'm out.
The world needs feeding. Do they do that stuff just so that we're talking about
just
it?
Just for press,
that's
for
the only
sure.
reason they do, right?
Yeah.
At the Kaiman Show at New York's Fashion Week in February, the designer house sent models wearing, and I quote, vagina mohawks.
How
down the runway.
How does that work?
It's prosthetics. It's all prosthetics.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a wig and some other stuff, but it's formed into a mohawk.
Okay.
Vagina.
Are they wearing pants?
Well, is it on their head or is there a mohawk on their hoo-ha?
There's a mohawk on their hoo-ha.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. But the hoo-ha is completely prosthetic.
It's covered by the mohawk. Yeah. I mean, it's a fake area.
Uh-huh.
Behind which their real body exists.
I'm bummed.
I don't know what you guys are. What's?
I'm bummed we already bought our wedding dress.
And he says, Kaiman chose to represent diversity, uniqueness, and acceptance of individuality with life-giving human vaginas.
What is happening?
That's my question.
Do mohawks promote diversity? Like the way that you have pubic hair?
I've got crazy pubic hair.
This is insane.
That's
These
what
people
I'm
are
saying.
Nuts.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand it for a second. I'll post some pictures in just a second on my Twitter at the Kevin.
That Reiter. Was what everyone was waiting for.
It's ridiculous. And finally, models carried their own severed heads.
Okay.
At Gucci's nightmarish Milan fashion show.
That one was not prosthetic.
Oh, no.
Just their actual heads.
Things got extra weird at Gucci's Milan Fashion Week show on Wednesday when designer Alessandro Michele
sent models down the runway carrying replicas of their own heads.
Huh.
So they're holding a replica, and it looks exactly like they're carrying their own head down.
I'm buying this one.
Yeah.
You like this one?
Yeah, I think this one's good.
I mean, if you hollowed it out and put a little strap on it, that's a cute purse.
It's so funny you would say that because in parentheses it says, and it was carried much like a clutch.
Nice. Yeah. So there you go.
I'm actually,
sure.
I get that style. Like, not that you can do it down the street. Although, I will applaud you if I see you carrying your own head down the street.
Right.
But I think that one at least makes for a cool picture if someone's trying to, like, put a spotlight on a dress.
It's
or
a little freaky.
Yeah, I'm down.
It's pretty freaky. You're down with that.
Oh, I'm down.
Three boobs? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I was out.
I'm out.
Mohawk vagina?
No.
No, I'm out.
I'm in on. That's the only one I'm in on.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know why. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes till 7 o'clock. Just after 7, Drew Doughty from the LA Kings. Hockey's back.
Yes.
Hockey's finally back.
Thank God.
I'm so happy. Right now, Ellie is here with What's Happening.
Have you done any work with Terry Crews, Mr. Jensen Cart, filling in for Bean?
I have. He did drop the mic. Mm-hmm. He went against Luis Fonsi. And then also he played Diddy in Sheer RL, which is something that I did with Paul Scheer, where we recreated TRL sketches with Paul Scheer as Carson Daly, word for word. And then we did improv.
Okay.
But Terry Crews did I'm Running for New York on Treadmill, which I don't know if you remember that TRL episode. Terry Crews, very funny man.
He is funny. Yeah. And really inspirational.
I was going to say, have you seen that side of him where it's like a humid TED talk?
Yeah.
And after you talk with him, you're like, I can do anything.
I need to get going with my life because I can accomplish anything I want. After you talk to him for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You guys know he also is a master flutist.
No.
Yeah, I did not know that.
He's very good at playing.
A master.
Flute. Yeah. He took lessons and classes and he played flute most of his life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Terry Crews is an enigma.
Yeah, he's a Renaissance man for sure. Well, I was very happy to see this because he's getting even more work. The Brooklyn Nine-Nine star, Terry Crews, has been named host of America's Got Talent, The Champions.
Oh, fun.
It's an offshoot, obviously, of America's Got Talent. It's slated to launch in January. It's going to feature contestants from past seasons as well as some fan favorites from other global AGT franchises as they compete against each other. And he'll be joined by the usual judging panel, Mel B, Heidi Klum, Howie Mandel, and executive producer Simon Cowell. And he'll still remain on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so don't worry about that. That debuts, I think, early next year on NBC. So.
That guy's so likable.
So likable.
Good dude.
Wonderful man.
Terry Crews, 2020.
I wouldn't be against it.
Wouldn't hate it.
He was president in, what was that movie where he's like President Camacho?
Right. Idiocracy.
Idiocracy, right.
See, that's right.
We're living Idiocracy, you guys.
I know. And he would be a better choice than what we have, even Camacho.
Amen. Yeah. Guys, this was shocking news to a lot of people yesterday. After 45 years, HBO announced that the network will no longer feature live boxing matches starting in 2019. They currently only have... they currently have no more fights scheduled past October 27th. And they just let their staff know yesterday. So... Jim Lampley, Max Kellerman, Andre Ward, Roy Jones Jr., they were working as freelance commentators, were notified yesterday of the decision.
Is this because declining viewers?
Yeah.
Well, not only that, here's the thing. It comes at a time when rival networks are scooping up all of the boxing, which I thought boxing was... a little on its way out.
I've thought that for a long time, but it doesn't appear to me. I don't know.
No, I mean, UFC is really taking most of the viewer share, yeah.
But ESPN... But
even that's down, so...
Yeah.
Oh, it's down a ton.
Yeah.
ESPN signed a 7-year rights deal with Top Rank last month. Fox Sports signed a deal this month with Premier Boxing Champions. And Showtime shows about 22 fights a year.
Huh.
What was HBO even showing? What was...
Not much, but I will miss Harold Letterman.
Is he the ringside guy?
He's the old man they go to for the cards.
Oh, yes.
So it'll be like, let's go to Harold Letterman for the card. I got a 10-9 in the fifth round. He screams it like he's never been near a microphone, and he's been doing it for 50 years.
God bless him.
I got a 10-9. Sphinx. Sphinx hasn't been boxing in a while, Harold. Yeah. I know. He's winning.
Wherever he is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love
Harold.
It.
Hopefully there's a place for him.
Oh, yeah. He'll be yelling at pigeons.
Okay. Well.
In your local park.
I don't know about you, but hearing models being, shady with each other is very satisfying. Naomi Campbell, she's at it again. She is very opinionated. We love that about her. Mm-hmm. She was on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and things got real when a caller said, hey, what are your thoughts on Kendall Jenner? I don't know if you heard about this, but she got considerable blowback for some remarks she made a few weeks ago that she'd never do 30 runway shows like other models. Mm. And models were like, you're not even one of us. Who are you? And it just got ugly. But Campbell's response was a curt next question. She wasn't even going to chat about it. And then Cohen asked her if she was at the Harper's Bazaar Icons party recently. That's the place where Cardi B and Nicki Minaj got in a fight. A shoe was thrown.
Sure.
Not a good situation. Her response, no. It was called the Icon Party. There were no icons there.
Yeah.
Boom! All right. She said that instead of going, her and fellow model Kate Moss were at home on the couch watching TV. And then she said, I was disappointed. I don't want to see women of color fight. I don't want to see women fight, period. And I thought, well, you are talking to Andy Cohen, a man that has profited off of women fighting. That's Bravo. That's the network you're on.
Didn't Naomi Campbell once get busted for throwing a cell phone at someone? Her housekeeper?
Her assistant.
Yeah. I think she's been crazy, allegedly, for a long time.
Yeah.
She's thrown some stuff.
Yeah.
Well.
But it's I just found that so funny. You're talking to Andy Cohen about not wanting to see women fight. He's like, let's go to a clip of this fight from tonight's Real Housewives of wherever. Good times. And really sad for Ariana Grande. She's going through something right now. She was on Twitter yesterday, had to get some things off of her chest.
Ariana Grande?
Her first tweet, can I please have one okay day? Just one, please.
Oh.
Then the next one was, I'm so effing tired, please.
Yeah.
Then the next one, just wake me up when I'm supposed to sing or whatever. Peace. Like,
Again, it's odd that people start using Twitter and social media as a therapist.
Yeah.
And
it's not the kind of stuff you normally even want to hear from celebrities.
After her team had said that she was going to disappear for a while, too.
Right.
And then back on Twitter. I would do the impression, but this one feels sad.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, she obviously has been going through a lot between the Manchester terror attacks, Mac Miller passing away.
Tattoos that are not great.
Weird tattoos. She has a pig now with Pete Davidson. She then tweeted, thank you for loving me so much. I don't deserve it. This to all of her followers. You're angels in my life. It's just been a tough month. I'm trying to get my work done and get back to normal, and it's hard, and I'm human, and I'm tired. Sorry I let you in or worried you. I shouldn't have tweeted. I know better. It's just sad to me. It's sad that maybe she doesn't have friends to talk to. Maybe she doesn't have close confidants to be like, I'm exhausted. I'm mentally spent and I don't know what to do.
Right.
So she just logs on and knows that she's going to get that instant gratification back of people saying they care about her and we're here for you. It's just, that really depresses me.
You don't want to depend on social media, though.
No.
It's not a therapist.
No.
But I will be Ariana Grande's therapist if she would like. I have no training.
That's very nice of you.
No training. Never really read a book about therapy or anything, but been to it a lot.
Okay.
I'll help her.
All right. Good times. Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you. Tita Von T, St. Vincent, Mira Sorvino, Bam Margera, Naomi Watts, and Hilary Duff. And that's what's happening.
The offseason for me of hockey feels like it goes on for 17 years.
That's how it feels just being a Clippers fan in the NBA all the time. Even when they're in season, out of season, doesn't matter for me.
But the Kings' first home game is 1 week from today, October 5th, and got to go to the practice arena yesterday and sit down with Drew Doughty. Sitting here with Drew Doughty. How are you, Drew?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I am so excited to have hockey back.
Me too.
I assume you feel the same way.
For sure. It's a long summer. You know, I obviously like watching all those other sports and having some time off, but it's good to get back here and get back at it.
Are you disciplined during the summer? Because I feel like I would get tired of being disciplined during the season, and then when it got to the summer, I would just, you know, ice cream, pizza.
Yeah. You know what? It's kind of weird. Is I'm more disciplined in the off season when it comes to eating than I am in the during the season. And that's because during the season, I'm on the ice so much. I'm playing, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a night, and I'm able to burn off that cheesecake that I have the night before.
And by 25 to 30, you mean 30 to 35.
I would love to. I think they're going to bring me back a little more this year, but, you know, it's something I'm going to have to get used to. But, no, I'm pretty disciplined this season as well. But, like I said, you know, I work hard in the summer too, but nothing compares to playing, you know, 25 to 30 in the season and burning all those calories.
Are you good at being on vacation or taking summers off? Or
I'm terrible at being on vacation. I'm terrible. I go back home to my hometown, London, Ontario, and I go back to my house and just chill. I have all my friends over, my family over. You know, we have fun in the summer, I'm not going to lie. You know, you have the boys over on the weekend, have a few parties here and there, and a few beers at the cottage by the beach, whatever it may be. So that's my favorite part of summer. That's why I go back to London. All my family and friends are there. So I love the summer.
It feels like it's been a year and a half since the Kings have played. I'm not sure what that feels like to you, but to me, it just seems like it's been forever.
Yeah, you know, it feels the same way to us, especially, you know, 5 years ago, we were going deep into, you know, June, playing all the way till then. And then I only had a month and a half for summer. Now we're into the 3-4 month range for summer. So it's,
let's go back to the other one, to the month and a half.
I completely agree. And, you know, it's frustrating going back home, and everywhere you go, especially in Canada, you just see hockey everywhere. So seeing other teams playing in the playoffs, and I'm sitting there watching on TV, you know, that hurts. There's no doubt about that.
You got married.
I got married, yeah.
How long ago?
What is September? About just a month and a half ago,
two
months ago.
You're going to need to learn that a little
bit. Yeah, well, I know the date, but I'm trying to think of where we are today. I got married August 8th, so back home in Muskoka. And yeah, it was only a 106-person wedding, very small. I had all my family and friends there, and a bunch of the boys, obviously, off the team came down with their wives. And yeah, it was a hell of a party.
Teeth or no teeth?
I had teeth in when I walked up or walked down the aisle. I had teeth in. And then once I had to say my vows, I had to rip the teeth out because I can't speak with those things.
Does your wife like that you don't have the teeth most of the time?
No.
She doesn't like that?
No. She's used to it and has to kind of deal with it. But no, she'd rather me have teeth, no doubt about it. But
she has to accept 8 more years of you having...
We're going to try to get them fixed before then.
Are you?
I've been telling her I was going to get them fixed. I promised her I was going to get them fixed for the wedding, and I broke that promise. So, I want to get it fixed soon. But the whole thing is if I re-injure my jaw, it could make things worse all in there, and then I'll end up having more and more surgeries. So sometimes it's better to not just put something permanent in there.
I sort of feel like you without teeth with a giant grin. You're sort of the face of the Kings.
Even looking at myself in the mirror with my flipper in is weird.
It's
There's
weird.
No doubt about it. And then like all the guys on the team, when I put it in at the wedding there, they're like, hey, just take it out. Like it's we don't even want to look at you. So, but no, I used to have a really nice smile with teeth in. So I need to bring it back one day.
I don't know. I sort of like teeth out. I got to be honest. All right. So now the season's about to begin. How do you approach that mentally? It's a grueling season.
Yeah, but this is one of the fun parts of the season. You know, when you kind of get back at it and you're in the grind and trying to make a good start to the season. It's a lot of fun, But, you know, kind of when you get halfway through the season game, you know, 50 to 60 or something like that, you're like, that's when the grind really steps in. And then near the end of it, you have the playoff push. So you're back on top of things. But it's definitely a grind, but I'm just excited to get back at it and get back to some winning ways. We made some offseason additions that are going to help our team. And
tell me about Kovalchuk.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's got a puck on the string. He can shoot the puck. He's a great guy, always laughing, always having a good time. And, you know, we're really happy to have him. He'll be great for the power play, but not only that, he'll be great, you know, to have in the room as a leader and great to have at all times.
You were talking about him being in a good mood and laughing all the time. And you're like that on the ice. You're either breaking your stick or sort of laughing and really having a good time, even in the tensest of moments.
Yeah, like I'm playing my best, honestly, when I'm really happy and just enjoying things and having fun out there and not worrying about stuff. But I definitely have the tendency to snap a few times. There's no doubt about that. Not that I play poorly when I'm upset, but I'm definitely not playing at my best when I'm upset. So it's something I've been trying to work on. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting upset every once in a while.
Either.
But I sometimes take it too far. There's no doubt about it.
I would want every person to play that hard. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm a competitive guy, and that's my number one attribute as an NHL hockey player is my competitive spirit. And I don't think if I had that, I would be in the NHL. So
before you signed the 8-year deal, you said something about wanting to win a cup no matter what. And there was a big to-do over that. And I thought to myself, I want every player on the team to say and feel that way.
I think they all feel that way. You know, I think a lot of guys just maybe don't tell the media, you know, more than they have to. So I'm one guy that I'll just say whatever's on my mind. I'm not too worried about it. So sometimes that brings me trouble. Sometimes that brings me some good things. But, yeah, no, everyone in our team wants to win a cup. There's no doubt in my mind about that. No one would be here. No one would have trained that hard in the off season and went through this grueling camp if they don't want to come here and win.
Well, it's a great season. I'm so excited that we're actually having the first game. The first home game is Friday, October 5th.
Yeah.
When you're skating around, do you see the people in the crowd? It looks sort of like you're looking.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
I'm analyzing the crowd. Yeah, see if I see any celebs out there. I don't know. I'm just looking all over the place, finding different things to look at. What else is there to do in between whistles, really? I don't know. Just skate around. So I don't know. I got to have my mind on something.
Right. During the game, do you hear the crowd? Or can you?
I can hear them, like, not during the play, no. But, like, after a play, obviously, yeah. Or if I'm on the bench, I'll hear them and stuff. Actually, I've definitely heard other arenas boo me.
You have?
I can hear that, yeah.
That must make you want to play so much better. Oh, I mean, that's great.
I love it. One day, if I score and in front of the arena, booing me, that's going to be a special day.
That's sweet. I mean, the 2011-2012 season, you guys were as good on the road as you were at home.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun playing on the road.
It didn't seem like there's home ice.
No, but it's something, you know, even still to this day, even last season, we're still a very good team on the road, but we need to be better at home. That's something that's our focus. Yeah, it's good to be really good on the road, but it's more important to be better at home.
What's the best and the worst part of being on the road?
The worst part about being on the road is just like having those long days. You know, you're done practice at 1 o'clock or so, and you know, you got a game the next day, so you're not going to go to the bar and shoot pool or whatever it may be. You're just going to probably lay in your bed until dinner, then go to dinner and go to sleep. So
it's just time wasting, basically.
It gets boring, but at the same time, the fun part about being on the road is that everyone here has families, so they're going home to their kids, so we're not able to, you know, go out for dinner together and have a few drinks together. We go to the mall together, go to movies together, whatever it may be. So you get to spend more time with your teammates. That's the most fun part about the road.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the season. I know you are as well, because you're super competitive. I'm really glad you're here for another 8 years.
Me too.
And I'm really happy that you don't have teeth. That's how I that's how I like you, if that's all right.
All right, I'd like myself like this too.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Drew.
All right, thank you so much.
Guys.
I'm not thrilled with this next break.
Guys, I need you to know something. Amazon says a lot about you. What you've purchased, what the amount of purchases, the frequency in which you've bought the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
This staff is real weird.
Okay, so Jensen's filling in for Bean, and he told us this week something that we didn't know, which is you can go back and find out exactly how much money you spent in its entirety on Amazon.
Yeah.
And a detailed list of every single thing you bought.
Yeah, and we're going to tweet out the link from the Kevin and Bean account also on Facebook. It's very easy. You just download an Excel spreadsheet and it lists everything that you've purchased since 2006.
Oh dear.
And it is a real glimpse.
It really is.
Into the mind of what could be a psychopath. And so we had a couple people from staff send their histories to me.
Okay.
Last night in the privacy of my own home, I went through every purchase.
Were you laughing at each of us?
There were times where out loud I just went, "What's this?" Just straight up out loud. No. And I think I'm allowed to do this because I live in a stone house. No glass around my house.
No.
I've only purchased $5,612 worth of merchandise off of Amazon, which might sound like a lot, but just you sit
not
and
over the years.
And so I really had nothing that embarrassing. My first purchase, which we'll talk about for all of you, my first purchase does get a bit of a laugh. It's the Muppets Take Manhattan Blu-ray.
Oh, respect.
One of my favorite movies ever.
Amen.
But didn't think we'd be putting a spotlight on that here on the
waka,
show.
Waka.
I didn't know I could like you more.
Out of the $5,600, About 3,800 are DVDs or Blu-rays.
Wow.
Which is embarrassing to an extent, but oh, wait till we get to you guys.
And by the way, you still buy
I do. I
Blu-rays
still weirdly okay. purchase all of them and have a collection. And it's the dumbest thing in my life. The other thing that I noticed is that at some point in 2014, I bought a yoga mat. I've never done yoga.
Okay,
so the mat is probably just sitting somewhere in my house. It's never been used.
Excellent.
Dave, welcome to the show today.
Hello.
You gave me your Amazon history.
Sure.
You have spent just a little more than me. Within $40, you've spent $5,650.95. You warned me before we came on air that you share an account.
Yes.
But I do have some questions.
Oh, I see how you're going to do this.
I have some questions for you. Your first purchase was a Yo Gabba Gabba Broby Hop and Bounce Play Pal.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
What?
Oh, dude, I love Yo Gabba.
It was for his kids. It was for his kids.
Yeah, it's for his children.
Dave, Dave doesn't have any.
He doesn't have kids, that's right.
By the way, while I was going through this out loud, my fiance heard me go, but he doesn't have kids. Out loud. A couple other things I want to ask you about. One, you have a lot of Coca-Cola items.
You know what's funny about that? Those were all gifts for Omar.
Oh.
Omar's a big
Omar collect.
I think every year for Christmas I gave him Coca-Cola items.
And I will say, out of the entire staff, a lot of gift giving from Amazon.
Yeah.
And I can tell that because of the December purchases.
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't in December. This was a cupcake necklace in trinket box with faux crystal gems.
Oh my
you
god.
You ordered that, Dave?
Probably, man. I used to give my girlfriend terrible gifts.
Oh, it's awesome.
So this is it is the Amazon of a 9-year-old, because you also purchased a Guardians of the Galaxy suit-up Rocket Raccoon backpack.
Yeah, it was for my nephew.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
listen.
It's all for everybody else.
It's all for everyone
now
else.
Now I know how to handle mine.
You bought so many buttons that say things, like buttons that are like... but like 15 of them.
It's for my cousin.
No, if you go around my apartment, you could hit the button and it'll be like F word.
Yeah, it'll be like F word, or it'll be like, I'm not here for your business.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But so 15 of them.
And sometimes I forget where they're at, so we'll put books down and I'll be like, and you know, I hate you. And you're like, whoa.
It'll be like, get out of my car.
Like,
oh,
weird.
This is a statement for everyone on staff. You guys buy a lot of costumes.
Yeah.
Dave does. Omar does. Ali has bought a lot of costumes over the years.
Sure.
Also, the last one I want to ask you is, if we're on supermarket sweep, one time you purchased a 50-inch inflatable tequila bottle. Like, what? I mean, did you not pick up the hams for the most expensive supermarket sweep?
That's just decorations.
All right.
We like tequila.
Beautiful decorations. All right, listen, we need to take a break.
Okay.
Because we don't have time, because Omar's in here and Ali's in here and I'm in here and Jensen has seen all of what we bought.
There, it gets crazy.
So let's take a break and we'll come right back and continue. We did have something else planned here, but the last thing we did is going along, and that is you can look up a list of every single thing you bought on Amazon.
That's right. And so far we figured out that I've spent about $5,600. Dave spent about $5,600. We're moving on to Omar now, who his grand total is $8,500. So he spent about $8,500 overall in Amazon. His first purchase was a Little Whizzer novelty peeing boy liquor dispenser. That is truly the most on-brand thing I've ever heard.
It's like for my bottle of Jack Daniels, of course.
Of course.
Little Whizzer pee boy, peeing boy liquor dispenser.
Makes perfect sense.
Also, there is so much, and when I mean so much, bacon-scented stuff. Toothpicks, car fresheners, lip balm. It is so much bacon.
I love bacon.
Understandable.
I think that's a given based on what he just said.
Other things he's purchased that should concern us slightly is a hunting knife.
Okay.
He also bought an Alison Brie autographed photo for $50.
Gift?
For being.
I knew
okay,
it.
Okay, fair enough.
I knew it.
Allowed. He also is the most impressive sale purchaser.
What does
he
that
saved
mean?
The most money between
thrifty.
He is very thrifty. For example, he purchased a swimming pool cleaner that is originally $1,200. He got it for $319.
Nice.
That's very good. Also, Cuisinart that's normally $670, he got it for $200.
Can you haggle with him?
No, they just go on sale.
You know what? I'll offer $399. Yeah. That's my final offer.
Yeah, he's running deals. Let's get on to Allie, and then we'll get to the big bopper.
How dare you?
Allie, her entire purchase order was about 7 pages, which was a lot more than us.
Oh.
She has spent $28,000 on Amazon since it opened.
Wait.
Well, this is, oh my God.
When? 2006?
2006.
Okay.
$28,000.
All right.
Her first purchase was Talking Book, which was an original recording remastered CD. Which
is Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, not super funny. But the amount of rom-coms that she purchases is somewhat disturbing.
Okay. Yeah.
My favorite purchase out of everyone was from Allie when she bought the sexy leprechaun costume.
Thank you.
Also, the amount of crystal light that she purchases individually is incredible.
Well, there are so many flavors of crystal light, but a lot of grocery stores either discontinue or they just have specific kinds.
Right.
And if you love crystal light, like I do, because I believe in crystal light and I believe in me, you like to put it in vodka soda. Let's be honest.
Okay.
It's a delightful treat. But the costume, that was for a live shot that I did with KTLA.
It's great.
For St. Patrick's Day.
It's a little frightening to have somebody else looking at your stuff.
Yeah. It's not cool. The other thing about your purchases is the amount of Christmas items that you have is startling. Because this is only one place you can buy Christmas items, and there are a lot. Also, Allie spending $28,000 is remarkable because there are not any very big purchases.
Things,
so that is a lot of crystal light.
A lot of crystal light, like a lot of Jergens self-tanner, that type of thing.
Yeah, well, that was 7 pages.
Okay. Kevin.
Kevin.
Now, come on now.
Mm-hmm. I can't
You don't have to say it that way.
I can't give you the report that I want to give.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many pages that I cannot get a total.
No.
You had 7 pages at 28,000.
Right.
Kevin. 47 pages.
Heaven.
Look, I told you guys this is a big problem with me because it's that one-click shopping and then you wake up in the middle of the night and you go, I need that.
Yes.
I can't report back on a total. It is humanly impossible.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't give him a total, but I can pull a couple purchases. But again, we should, I guess what 47 pages would be.
Yeah.
Well, what was Allie's? How many pages?
Hers was 7 pages.
Oh, no.
And it was almost
28,000. I mean,
I'm sure mine was a bunch smaller stuff. I'm sure.
So then you multiply.
By 5, basically.
30 by.
He's done a couple $100,000 worth.
I mean, that's a guess.
Wow.
I will tell you that most of those 47 pages are Hurley t-shirts and shorts. I didn't know you could buy so many shorts. I didn't know that so many companies made shorts.
But here's But here's what happens. Here's the way I work is that I don't find shorts that I like very often. When I find a pair of shorts, I order the crap out of them.
I can't believe
it. So I have like 20 of the same.
I also will say you can tell where he buys them, like the kind of the fury. Mm-hmm. So like he won't be able to sleep for a week. And then you'll see 15 purchases in one night. And then the next night, 15. And then nothing for 5 days. Then 15 at night again. Then 15 at night again.
Is it possible I forgot that I was ordering them the
night
before?
It's very possible. Also, I did think it was adorable. Allie does buy something for herself. And then 3 or 4 days later, I see she sends it to a friend, which was very sweet.
Very gifted.
I thought that was very nice.
Same but the one thing, no?
the one thing I do want to address most in Kevin's, why do you have UFC gloves?
Oh, good, excellent. I can answer this one.
Okay,
because we get them autographed to raise money for our charity.
Oh, what a way out! Wow. What a way out from having 47 pages.
Turn that right around.
Again, by the way, that was
the women and the children.
You'd make a perfect Republican senator, because boy, that was a flip of the truth.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. Coming up just after the top of the hour, 911 is a joke. And then also we have the director of Hellfest coming in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, Allie McKay is here. What's happening?
Well, on Fridays around this time, we like to highlight our, well, it's our playlist. It's called That's My Jam. And we're going to link you right now at Kevin and Bean on Twitter as well as Facebook. What you do, you just click on it. Press follow, and then every single week, members of the Kevin and Bean Show have added a song that they're either digging at the moment, might be something brand new, something you've never heard of, or it could be something came across one of your shuffle pods and shuffle pod?
Shuffle
sure.
pod.
Why not?
That's a thing, sure.
And you're like, hey, I remember this song. It was great. It's just something you're really feeling at the moment because a lot of people don't know. We don't pick the music here on K-Rock, and a lot of us have very varied tastes.
We like what we play,
yeah,
sure.
But we also like other stuff,
sure,
as well.
We like a ton of different stuff. So let's kick it off this week with Kevin and your pick.
I think it was yesterday that Muse released another new song.
Mm-hmm.
The album comes out November 9th, but they released a new song called Pressure. This is Muse. I mean, come on.
It's great.
So many times when I hear Muse, I'm like, yeah, this could be in a musical. Like, it just, like, there are such, like, sweeping songs that you're like, you add a couple different things to it. I'm watching that on
Broadway. For the most part, three people making all that noise.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Unbelievable. Well, Bean is off this week, but in typical Bean form, he sent in his pick.
Of course.
And his
long
pick,
before mine, by the way.
Yeah.
When he sends
yeah.
in his on vacation, I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm here and I haven't sent mine in
He'll
yet.
Show us up on vacation. It's ridiculous. But his pick is from a young lady that when she played at Acoustic Christmas a couple years ago, I was like, holy crap, L. King. That voice is phenomenal. So his pick this week is Naturally Pretty Girls by L. King. No, 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 it's not make believe. It's rewarding to be beautiful.
Nature was a kind of mind. Damn, those naturally pretty girls. Damn, those naturally pretty girls. Pretty girls. I like people who have voices that you can instantly tell who it is.
Yeah.
By their voice. I like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
L. King, the best thing Rob Schneider ever made.
It is his daughter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jensen,
yes.
You're up next.
Yeah, this was my get up on this week here on Kevin and Bean, along with the O'Reilly Auto Parts remix. The record's going to get kind of clouded by Lil Wayne's release today, but Young Thug put out an EP. On that EP this week was a song that first started in 2016 when he met Elton John, who is weirdly a Young Thug fan. Just very weird.
He seems to like rap.
He does. He's, yeah. he's a fan of what's hot and keeps yeah. his ear to the streets. But this is Young Thug featuring Elton John with a song called High, and it is great. Hey, and I'm gonna be. Your guess is as good as mine.
No idea what he said.
It's a great song, but we don't know what he's saying.
But that's part of his thing. He's almost like an improv jazz guy. It's just very fun. He just goes, mm-hmm. Goes in the booth and says whatever.
All right. Mm-hmm. My pick is a local young lady. Her name is Mia Folick, and I loved her EP, Give It To Me, that came out, I feel like last year, maybe the year before. But her voice is heavenly, and then it's so powerful at times that you're like, how is this the same person? It's insane. And she has her debut album, Premonitions, coming out on October 26th, and I couldn't figure out which song to pick because I was going to pick a song, Dead Body. It's so powerful, not only in her voice, but it's about an assault, and I was like, you know what? It's been a heavy week, and how about a song instead about listening to your friend talk about the same dude over and over and over again. And then you're just like, listen, your thoughts are becoming reality. Stop putting all of this out to the universe. Stop talking about the boy. This is a song called Stop Talking. I find myself floating.
It sounds great.
So bubbly and poppy. And then, I mean, if you go and pre-order her music for, like I said, Premonitions out October 26th, just, you know, listen to Dead Body and then that. And it's whiplash, but it is so wonderful. And by the way, this woman, from Santa Ana, half Japanese, half Russian. No one should look like her and so beautiful, have that voice and be so talented. Listen, I just talked myself out of this pick. I now hate her. No, she is wonderful. Again, her name is Mia Folick. And that's my jam, is what we're talking about. Go to Kevin Bean, at Kevin and Bean on Twitter and on Facebook. Click on our That's My Jam link, click follow, and you're going to have brand new songs in your ear holes every single week. I mean, it's like a gift, you guys.
It is. We're not charging you for this.
We aren't.
We could be.
Should we give out our Venmos, though, in case people want to pay?
What if they don't like it, then? Do we owe them? I think that's a
bad road. They'll just send us invoices.
Right? Yeah, let's leave it. Okay,
good.
Some birthdays for you. Dita Von Teese, St. Vincent, Mira Sorvino, Naomi Watts, and Hilary Duff, and that's what's happening.
We have a feature called 911 is a Joke, where we post calls where people call from a Burger King drive-thru because they didn't get the burger they wanted, they didn't get enough fries, whatever nonsense there is. They're calling 911 for some reason, like 911 is going to send out an officer to get them the right fries.
Okay, but what's so funny about it?
I don't understand why that happens.
Trying to figure out what the bit is. It sounds like an emergency.
I don't believe that's an emergency, is my point.
You know, tomatoes, tomatoes.
This little kid called 911 and he needed help with his math. And it's really sweet.
No. That is awesome.
It's really sweet because not only does he call 911 and explain that he needs help with math, the 911 operator helps him with math.
Oh, stop.
It's so sweet. Oh. Listen.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi. Yeah, this is an emergency, but I'm 10 years old and I'm working on my math homework right now. And I can't figure out what 71 divided by 3,652 is.
Now, 71 divided by 3,652. That seems extreme for a 10-year-old.
What math teacher do you have? That's the emergency.
Yeah.
You have
need a new math teacher.
Terrible math teacher.
Okay, so he continues.
How much?
What? 71 divided by 3,052.
He's doing the math.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an emergency.
He's sitting there going, okay, all right, let me just write this down, and I'm going to figure out. He's helping him. Do the math problem. Now, I hope that other phones aren't ringing. I assume they're not.
Right.
On the other line, there's a car on my leg. A car on my...
Hold on, I'm doing math.
Hold on, I'm moving the one.
There's a car on my leg.
I could try to help you. I don't know how to do that off the top of my head either at the moment, so... Oh.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, well then who should I call? The kid gets all...
You put someone else on the line, sir, since you can't do my homework.
But then he realizes maybe he's not saying it right.
1 second. Are you working on decimals or...
I'm working on division.
Okay. So it's... Are you sure it's 71 divided by that, or is it 3,052 divided by 71?
How sweet is he to follow up and make sure the kid's saying it right?
Right. Well, he's dividing it into the wrong number.
I have a math question.
Yeah.
Sure.
How much am I paying for this call in taxes?
I'm willing to pay for it because he's helping the little kid do the math.
Come on. It's 3,052 divided by 71.
Okay.
Oh, that's...
1 second.
That's completely different.
Yeah. That's different, you idiot.
Doing it on a calculator, it's 42.98, which you would round up to like 43.
He's literally tutoring the guy. How sweet is that?
This is incredible. I mean, I don't know if I'm thrilled by that. There are actual emergencies.
There are, and I'm assuming other people are taking calls.
Or they're not getting calls right that second.
But I do hope that at some point he tells him what 911 is for.
I mean, he doesn't necessarily. I mean, the kid at the beginning said, this isn't an emergency, but I need help with my math.
But I feel like the kid should be reminded that this is a emergency line
that you could actually get in trouble for calling with something like this. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Is that all you needed?
Now he wants to know. You got anything else?
Also, my dad murdered my mom and then committed suicide. If you guys want to come by,
well, that was weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
if you guys want to stop by real quick?
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Very sweet, right?
It is sweet.
I've been held captive.
But if that
for
is not
6 weeks and I haven't had food.
Also, can you help me with a math problem?
How many days can I go without water?
Oh, no.
We welcome to the studio Gregory Plotkin. Welcome, Gregory.
Thanks for having me.
You brought donuts.
Yay.
We'll have you again Monday. You're bringing donuts every time
donut
you come
Friday.
In.
It's Donut Friday.
Gregory is the director of Hellfest, which opens today. Tell us about Hellfest.
Hellfest is a is my love letter to the 80s slasher films that I grew up on. It is takes place at a traveling horror carnival. And
Horror. Okay, just checking.
Horror.
You know those horror carnivals.
Just checking.
That's know. Where I did most
that's,
of my work.
That's the sequel.
Yes.
I can't wait to make it. And the prequel, by the way. Yeah, and it's really a love letter, throwback to these great movies I grew up on. So it's
what,
a lot of fun.
What movie did you love?
Halloween.
Halloween
was my all-time favorite. But I love Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, all those films, Texas Chainsaw, everything. I love them.
Did people think that there was something wrong with you because you love those movies so much?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, God. I was reading Stephen King at like 8 years old. And nuts. Totally nuts.
Now, did you say to yourself, wow, I want to be a part of a project that will make going to haunts even more terrifying because now I'm going to go somewhere and think, you know what? Maybe these people aren't acting. Maybe there is a murderer loose and they're going to kill me no matter where I go in this haunted place.
That's the best part about horror is that you take something that is so familiar and you make it super scary. So absolutely.
So when you go to parks where that's not going to happen, still in the back of your mind if you see this movie.
Anyone,
it's like,
anyone in a mask could kill you at any moment.
And by the way, I did that to the actors. I wouldn't tell them where people were going to pop out and what was going to happen.
So they were genuinely scared.
They were genuinely scared.
Oh, that must have been so annoying to them.
Oh my God. It's so much fun for me.
Greg is a huge editor. You've edited Get Out.
Yeah.
You've edited one of my favorite movies of the year, Game Night.
Yeah.
Love
and
that
then,
too.
And then one of my other favorite movies of all time, Weekend at Bernie's 2. what is the transition like to go from editor to director? Because you also did the last Paranormal Activity movie.
Yeah, it was fairly natural. I've had Jason Blum over at Blumhouse gave me this amazing opportunity to edit those films, the Paranormals, and then direct Ghost Dimension. As an editor, I know what I need in terms of coverage and so forth. The biggest challenge is getting used to talking to actors and conveying what I need. But it was very natural. I knew what I needed. It was very economical with the shooting. It was fun.
Do you have to sort of be a director to be an editor? Like you're sort of cutting it together and sort of making it a thing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always directing from the cutting room.
Offense to directors. I feel like editing is the biggest part of movie
job,
making.
Yeah.
It's the final rewrite. So, yeah. I mean, I think the writer obviously sets the tone, the director elevates the material, and then as an editor, we have to sort of put it together. It's a big puzzle, and it's a lot of fun.
And then once you get to the point like where you were in your career with a movie like Get Out, you're looked at like, hey, what do you think about this? How do we... And I understand you were instrumental in changing the ending of Get Out.
Well, actually, Jordan is a genius.
Agreed.
He is beyond genius. He was so smart. He kept all that was important to him in the film, but wanted to make it a little bit more crowd-pleasing, a little bit more accessible. He pitched some ideas, and we all loved him, obviously, and it was great. So, yeah, I was only instrumental in that I was following, his lead. He's
amazing. That's very humble and lovely of you.
And also, that's such a great movie for you to have jumped into because it speaks to so much of your influences.
Yeah, it's great. And the thing is, Jordan and I bonded. He and I met on Skype. He was already in Alabama getting ready to shoot. And we talked about Kubrick that we loved, talked about The Shining. We talked about Stepford Wives. We talked about Rosemary's Baby. And we kind of geeked out. We both love those movies.
This was a call that was set up to talk about doing
this was my
Get Out.
Yeah, this was my interview. Yeah. I talked for about 20 minutes. We talked about these movies we loved, and then I didn't talk to him at all until he got back to L.A. So I just was sitting in a room alone, getting to cut the film, getting to kind of fall in love with the material. And then we just played and made a great film.
Could you tell it was special that there was something about Get Out that was phenomenal?
I loved it. And I always tell Jordan, he made a better movie than the script because he wrote an amazing script.
Right.
But I loved it. It was one of those things that I didn't know. I saw the film opening night at the Arclight in Sherman Oaks.
You did.
I loved it. Felt like hopefully people would get it. Mm-hmm. As soon as people started screaming at the screen and standing up and clapping, I knew that people would understand it. So I didn't quite know, but I knew I loved it. I knew it was a special film.
Mm. How many of these Halloween events did you have to go to for Hellfest research?
Oh my God, so many. I got to go all over the country and do research. Did some great ones in New Orleans. Was able to kind of pick and choose what I want. And then we shot in Atlanta, and there's a place called the Netherworld, which we got to go. It's one of the biggest haunts in the whole country. And it's actually scarier to go alone than it is to go with a group of people.
Sure.
So I got to do some research and go. And they actually tell me that women wear...
No one would go with you, though, right?
I know, right?
That's what you're saying.
Okay,
well,
I'm sorry.
That's what's scary about it.
Yeah.
You're scary to other people.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You were saying women...
They were saying women that wear fake nails, that the nails fall off a lot. and they get lodged in different places. So I got to walk through in the morning, and they said, be careful, they're going to get stuff stuck in your shoes. So I was like, okay, and I start walking, it's all crunchy and whatnot. I look down, I got blue, orange, neon nails in my shoes.
That's what kind of janky place is this?
I know, right? You look in some of the mannequins, there's nails stuck in there because people get scared, they claw, they hit, and so forth. And
wow.
It was great.
I don't know about you, but when I get scared, I instantly have to pee. So when I go to like a haunted maze or haunted house, my friends are like, seriously, again? Like, no matter where I go. Was that an issue for any of your cast?
Well, I gave them all Depends.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart.
All right.
Very smart.
Very good.
That was
really maybe
good.
Sponsor that for the next
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, it was really clean.
Which
I'm sorry,
there will be, because I'm not saying there's an ending that you're like, wait a minute. But you're kind of leaving it open that we could find out prequel, sequel, whatever.
That's the hope.
Squeakquel, you're no dummy. Squeakquel, wasn't that the...
What's a squeakquel?
That was the Chipmunks one, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. We're just going to speed up all the voices.
Yeah.
No, it's open-ended. It's a character I love, want to explore more. And, you know, this is a movie for the fans. I thought you were
going to say family. I was like, nope.
No, it is not a movie for the family.
It is not that.
Definitely. Yeah, my kids will not see this film.
Did you insist on making it R-rated?
Yes.
It has to be, right?
It has to be.
If you're going to really do it, pay homage.
There was a conversation. They said, can we make it PG-13? I said, I don't know how you make this PG-13. I mean, I worked on Happy Death Day. I was the editor on that film.
Which is super fun.
Which is great. And Chris made this great film that was PG-13, that paid homage to the slashers, but also just had a lot of heart and a lot of comedy. But this film is more of a traditional slasher.
I feel like you almost have to fight to make it R, because you're limiting yourself in audience size.
Yeah, I definitely did. But I felt this is the film I wanted to make. And they were, luckily, CBS was really supportive and they were great.
And the set pieces are so big. Like, I feel like, are they all inspired by ones you saw doing this sort of traveling for it?
They were. The guillotine, Seth Sherwood, our writer, brought this guillotine sequence in right away. And this was something that sort of came out of his brilliant mind and was great. The bathroom was something I brought in when I came in.
Didn't like it.
I know.
Now I'm afraid of bathrooms. Didn't like it at all.
But the ride breaking down was, I was at Universal on the Harry Potter ride with my kids. And the ride broke down.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my first panic attack.
Really?
And
that was the first time in your life?
First time in my life.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And my kids are laughing hysterically at me. We're on the Whomping Willow portion, and the seats turned backwards. And
they must have thought you were joking at first.
They did.
Because they'd never seen it.
Yeah. And, and I had to pull out my phone and just start reading the news just to get my mind off of it, and that which made them laugh even more.
Of course.
So funny. The news gives me a panic attack.
Yeah. Right?
Right? And you go right back to the park.
Irony,
that's
being
stuck.
But yeah, so that was inspired. That the ride scene in this movie was inspired by that.
Cool.
It's
yeah,
very cool.
A lot of fun.
It just seems like a lot of fun. No, Allie?
No.
It was the bathroom scene that gave me the most. That I'm not going to lie, that made me have to poop. When I get really nervous,
what is going
I
what's
have
happening
to poop.
You went from peeing to having to poop.
Yes.
That's good. Then.
Yes,
that's good.
Because
that's a good
we've all had, as ladies, fears that someone's in there with us, and then I can't. You'll watch it and you'll get what I'm saying.
But that would make me not want to poop, because then I have to use the bathroom.
Right.
Right, but you know what I don't have in my bathroom? An area above and an area below.
Mm. Wow. That you know
of. Where are you going to the bathroom, then?
That's right. That's true.
I'm a little confused.
In a strange cave.
Allie, you know the difference between a closet and a bathroom?
Oh, no, again! I did it again!
Wow.
Do you find people that are sort of split down the middle of love horror, hate horror?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there anybody that's sort of in the middle?
No,
I don't feel like there is.
I don't think there are. I mean, but the people that love horror, love horror.
Because there have been many times where I want to go see something that looks really scary, and I can't talk anyone into going with me. I just go by myself because it looks great, and I want to see it.
I'm the same way. I think it's funny. Women drive the sales of horror tickets way more than men.
Really?
The girls
is that
say,
right?
Because the girls say, you're going with me tonight, and all his husband's girl or boyfriend's say, sure, whatever you want, honey.
All right.
And so they really sort of make the decisions, which is great. But it's such a community thing. It's great to be scared in a theater with everybody and feel it. So, but yeah, horror fans are the best. They're the absolute best.
As Halloween approaches, what are the movies people might not know from the horror genre that they should see?
Oh, my God. You got to start just with the classics. Like I said, I go back to The Shining, The Exorcist.
But what's the obscure? What's the one that you...
I don't know if it's obscure, but the first horror movie I ever saw that my babysitter got in so much trouble over... Don't Look Now.
Yeah.
Good God.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I did see it. Yeah. That is scary. I saw it the same night as The Gate. Do you know The Gate?
Yeah. Ah. Yeah.
Another weird, scary movie.
Yeah. I remember like, going up like The Prophecy and movies like that. Like, I loved everything horror. It's just so, there's so many good ones out
there. This looks fantastic. We appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us today. Very nice.
Thanks,
Gregory Plotkin. Thank you very much.
Go see it.
The movie is Hellfest, and it's in theaters today.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, news 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55 on Friday morning. That means it's time for Keep It 100.
I love it.
You get to text any song. If we have it in our catalog, in our computer system, we will play it.
Anything.
So texter 100 at 1-800-520-1067. Please add your name. You're not used to doing that when you text people because they know, but we don't. So add your name to the text if you don't mind. And here's some of the songs that you've picked in the past.
Candles down the drain. Got
to the water. Keep it 100. Omar put that in there again, and usually he takes off one every single week to freshen it up.
It'll never leave.
It's never leaving.
It lives forever.
So you can text right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will play Texter 100 song coming up just after the top of the hour. Allie is here with a look at what's happening.
This story is nuts to me.
You want to tell us about it?
It involves a Dodgers game. It involves a lifelong Dodgers fan. Her name is Haley Pollock. Her and her boyfriend went to the game on Friday night, and she was wearing a shirt with a diagram of a uterus on it. So, like, looked like a pencil drawing of a uterus.
Yeah, sort of like a sketch.
Which, honestly, kind of looks like a flower bud or something. I don't even think the first reaction would be uterus, but
right,
go on.
Right. So, the shirt also read, "No Country for Old Men," which made me laugh in itself.
That is funny.
She was approached by security guards who said her shirt was offensive. And here's her quote. Reaction was, "What could possibly be offensive about a uterus? There's nothing offensive about my shirt. My shirt is an image, a line drawing of a uterus."
And the words meaning old men don't get to make decisions over my body.
Yeah. Right.
But just it was offensive.
The drawing that freaked them out, apparently, which leads me to believe maybe they don't know what a uterus is, and they're like, "That's just a lady part. That shouldn't be on there," which is very concerning.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't go to baseball games to see me no woo-hahs.
That's true.
I go to baseball games to see me men in very tight pants running around after a ball with a stick.
Well, security guards told her she could stay if you put a jacket on or you could leave.
Wow.
So the couple decided after about 20 minutes they didn't feel like being humiliated anymore because apparently people kept coming up and she'd have to like stand there with her chest out like, "Here's what you're looking at. It's just a drawing of a uterus." And then she noted all the women around that had shirts that said, "She wants the D." Which had the D,
the Dodgers D,
which we all know what it means with the D. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's like, "That's not enough." So they wound up leaving. But here's the part that made me go, "Oh." She said the incident has tainted her and her boyfriend and her dog, Vin Scully's love for the boys in blue.
That's funny.
So she reached out to the Dodgers for an apology, and here's what the team provided as a statement back to CBS 2 News. "There is no dress code, but under our fan code of conduct, we have several provisions about indecent clothing. We're not going to comment on this specific incident, but we are in contact with Ms. Pollock, and we are reviewing it internally. So I'm going to wear a shirt with a gallbladder on it.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to wear a shirt with a spleen."
Yeah, I'll take the spleen.
Okay.
"Because I don't think, I think that they truly believe a uterus is a hoo-ha, and you're showing labia, and here's my thing you'll never find anyway." You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
A lot of that's going to get pulled.
What is happening? I can't say the L word.
Oh, no, but it was the way you were like,
just, we're
"This
use
is
it.
My labia." Like, they're going to use
that.
Yeah.
We're going to use that as
got
well.
It,
yeah,
got
thank
it.
You. I tried to stop that.
Okay. The story blows my mind. mean, Dad?
Yeah, so dumb.
It's silly.
It's also a extremely progressive team. We've had Pride Nights for years.
Yeah.
We were the team of Jackie Robinson. This is a stupid, stupid move of, I think, of just miscommunication.
I think it's I think so too. That didn't know what it was and thought it was and didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's so dumb.
I feel like they need to maybe have everyone have a meeting.
Sure.
Maybe a slideshow.
This is a uterus.
This is a uterus. Yeah, yeah. These are fallopian tubes. It could be a real learning experience for everyone. Good God.
I don't go to games to be taught about no feminism or feminazis wearing their shirts around me. I don't do it.
I do it
so that I can be racist but also love Puerto Rican players. That's why I go to games.
Right. Some birthdays for you. Mia Sorvino, Hilary Duff, Naomi Watts, Dita Von Teese, and St. Vincent, and that's what's happening.
Love this feature on Fridays. It's called Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
So, we always talk about what was 99.
It was close.
And what was 101. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, great choices today. We couldn't go wrong with any of these. But just missing out at number 99 was Rachel from Laverne. She wanted to hear the B-52s, Private Idaho.
Love it.
All right.
And then also just missing out, sorry, Britt, you wanted to hear the Vandals, Urban Struggle. That would have been great, too.
Agreed.
Yeah, but that was 101. But number 100, Texter 100, you guys. Her name is Crystal. She's from the LBC.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi, guys. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm sitting here wearing my brand new uterus t-shirt that I bought.
Are you?
Well,
excellent.
Don't go to a Dodger game.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Absolutely.
So how long have you liked the Boston's?
I've liked the Boston's ever since I was a little girl growing up in Long Beach.
Oh, right. That's quite a connection. What's your favorite lyric from the song?
So heavy you collapse. No.
What do you think was their best album, Crystal?
The best album, I would say, Horses and Rainbows. Is that an album?
Well, that doesn't seem like doesn't seem like an album for them.
Yeah.
She said, Horses and Rainbows. Is that an album?
Yeah.
Hey, Crystal, you ever been to Boston where they hail from?
You know what? I heard people from Boston are assholes, so I try to avoid it.
Well, that's true.
Well,
that's
I mean, you're not wrong. Okay. Wow. What else do we have for Crystal?
I mean, we could ask Crystal the thoughts on racism in Boston. I mean, I'm staying in this realm
here. Yeah, we need to talk to Crystal more, obviously.
Thanks, Crystal. We appreciate it. We're going to play your song.
Yes, I want you guys to play, and that the song is The Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Boston.
Keep it 100.
tested. I'd like to think that if I was, I would pass. Look at the tested and think there before the grace go on. Might be a coward, I'm afraid of what I might find out.
Thank you, Crystal from Long Beach, mm-hmm. for requesting that and for being such a lovely person to talk to on the phone.
Yeah, such a beautiful voice.
Yeah, very feminine.
Mm-hmm. Allie, what year? Mm-hmm. Mighty Mighty Boston.
Mighty Mighty Boston. Listen, I was in college, and it was a big deal uh-huh. when that song came out.
Right.
And that year would be 1997.
I have
1997.
I mean, you only get one guess.
1997.
It is 1997, yes.
Yeah. Always the second one.
So bad.
Always the second
Always.
One you say.
Always. Yeah, that's true. Let's keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 937. It's Friday. It's time for our last What's Happening with Allie. And Kat Corbett joins us as well.
We love it when Kat comes mm-hmm. in.
Isn't it nice to not hear a Frye from Bean?
Yes,
yes
it is.
Well, it is.
Friday.
That guy.
I live it in.
Oh, Jess.
Yeah.
I'm taking it on.
Nope.
Someone has to.
Nope.
They mm-hmm. don't.
No.
The man has a legacy. The man has a legacy.
Oh, dear.
One of the longest running DJs in LA.
Yeah.
He
has nothing to do with that
He wants to say Friday. He gets it.
You guys, Venom. Let's talk about
yes.
it. Because Venom is coming out to theaters on October 5th. But how about you? You listeners right now, you special little nuggets of goodness, how about you get to see the K-Rock advance screening of Venom at the AMC Burbank 16 on October 3rd.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, right? I'd let
Anyway,
him invade my body.
Oh, yes.
I'll host you right about here.
Are you guys
know
holding
what I'm
hands?
Saying? Just saying. Listen,
oh my God.
we love us some Tom Hardy. It's a sickness. But if you would like to get a pair of passes again to that K-Rock advance screening of Venom, AMC Burbank 16 on October 3rd, beat callers 20 through 24 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to get to go. Let us know how it is, because we can't even go to those pre-screenings.
Right.
We're not as cool as you guys. Shawn Mendes is... Thank you,
mm-hmm.
Dotto. Shawn Mendes is a delightful young Jet.
Beautiful young boy.
Right?
Yeah.
Talented, great head of hair, charming as all get out.
Yeah. This great head of hair second on your list.
It's weird. It's weird.
More talented.
Yeah, God. He shared a story the other night on Jimmy Fallon. He did a show, I believe it was at the Grammy Museum, where he was basically trying to impress Dave Grohl, who was in the audience with his daughter. Here's what happened.
Dave Grohl came to watch me play in Quebec.
Do you get nervous? I mean,
I was actually more amped up. I was like, Dave Grohl's here. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And I'm on stage, and I'm really feeling the show, and I'm like, this is my moment. Jump off, jump. Like, jump.
What do you mean, jump?
I don't know.
Jump where?
So it's a massive stage, and there's another section of the stage that's a lot lower than I thought it was. And Dave Grohl is, like, right here on the side of the stage, and he's sitting cross-legged watching this with his daughter, and I'm like, wow, he sees me jump.
And you're going to jump.
And I'm like, this
move.
One part where everything goes silent, and I jump, and I'm like, this is the coolest. I'm in the air, and I'm like, this is really long. And
Next thing you know, it's like Will Smith's birthday. Yeah, you're like, exactly. You're bungee jumping.
I was bungee jumping. I was fully on the ground. It looked like my first time ever trying to jump. Yeah.
That was great.
But you know what he said to me right before I went on stage, which I thought was so funny? He said, don't break a leg, which I thought was so great.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, and then I was like, I almost broke my
you
leg.
You almost did, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But now we just text about barbecue and stuff. It's great. We have a good friendship. Like me and JT, it's similar. Sorry.
Do you have Dave Grohl's phone number?
Yeah, I do.
I got to talk to Justin about that.
Yeah. Everything except Jimmy Fallon was good about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think we found our new host.
Yeah. Here's Shawn the thing Mendes, about baby. That clip. He said it was in Quebec. I assumed it was at the Grammy Museum last week because Dave Grohl and his daughter were at that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it so much. Do you think he's just pretending his daughter really likes Shawn Mendes?
But he's Dave Grohl's like,
I do. Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
My favorite.
Dad, come on. We have to go again?
Yeah, right?
He's going to have better hair at this one. Let me go.
He gets me. Absolutely. You guys like Halloween movies? Not just horror movies like Halloween and all of those Freddy Kruegers. Do you like Halloween-based movies?
Like give what? Me an example.
Yeah, you're
like Hocus Pocus?
That's also kind of scary.
Really?
Well, I mean,
okay.
If there's witches.
The makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know Halloween Town?
Yes, of course.
That's mm-hmm. not scary at all.
No.
No.
Delightful.
Good one.
Practical Magic.
Yes.
That's okay.
Love.
Well, here's why I'm bringing it up. Because Freeform will air a 25th anniversary special celebrating the 1993 movie Hocus Pocus. It's going to go down on October 20th as part of its 31 Nights of Halloween lineup. Original stars Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy Najimy, Thora Birch, and others will appear in interviews. No word yet on if Bette Midler will participate.
Oh, fingers
and
crossed.
Here's why there's no word yet. Remember when Deadline reported that the Disney Channel was trying to develop a remake of the movie Hocus Pocus?
Mm-hmm.
And Bette Midler was like, oh, it's going to be cheap. It's going to be so cheap. I'm not into it. So cheap. She was just so bitter about it that I wonder if she's like, nope, not even going to talk to him for this.
Huh. Love her.
It's very odd, but Practical Magic.
Yeah.
It was on last weekend, you guys.
So good.
Oh, my God. It's one of my favorites. Have you seen it?
No.
Nicole Kidman.
No.
Sandra Bullock.
Aiden
Stockard,
Quinn.
Aiden Quinn. Stockard Channing.
No, I'll have to see that.
Oh, best. My God.
Like in a like a Hocus Pocus?
No. Serious drama.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. But not.
Is it more like Beaches?
No.
Yeah,
where
this doesn't sound good.
Where are we at on the Bette Midler scale?
Well, Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman are sisters, and
yes.
they have powers.
Oh.
But
okay.
they have kind of pushed the powers away.
To cure cancer.
No.
Oh, I'm trying to see where the drama is.
One of the powers is that no matter who you love, they're going to die. So Sandra Bullock is all concerned. All right. I'm just saying.
That's it is just rude. I was in, Allie. I was totally riveted.
Oh, it's one of my all-time favorites.
Holy
it is
crap.
So damn good.
Wow.
But then they do a thing. Remember Midnight Margaritas?
A real
you
sale.
You put the lime in the coconut.
You took it all up.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Holding hands again, you weirdo.
Kat and I share a lot of similar interests.
You're
Hallmark
like a,
movies.
You're like a coven.
Yeah, we really are.
Coven,
really
yeah.
are. A masshole coven.
Oh, I love it.
Speaking of Kat, she's here right now. She likes to tell us really cool things happening all over LA.
Well, you guys, next Wednesday is October 3rd.
That is so fetch. Gretchen, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen,
was
Gretchen.
That Bette Midler?
No.
That is from Mean Girls.
Oh, okay.
And October 3rd is Mean Girls Day.
Is that the day we wear pink?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that October 3rd falls on a Wednesday, the day we wear pink. So it's like a double whammy.
It's a double
people.
Whammy.
Yes. So okay. Mean Girls, shut up, Kevin. On Tuesday.
I've never been more bored than the last 5 minutes. The last 5 to 6 minutes are killing me.
And he once interviewed Harvey Danger.
Holy crap!
Don't worry, I'm going to bring this around, I promise
Please.
You. I'm going to bring it around.
I'm looking for a razor blade.
Tuesday.
Yes.
No!
Yes.
No!
You.
What?
On Tuesday at the Grove, outdoors, they're going to show Mean Girls to prep you for Wednesday. Just saying, you can go there and
okay.
try to make fetch happen.
Okay.
Now I'm going to bring it around, Kevin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. LA's premier axe-throwing social club is
All
opening
right.
up
Amen.
Next week.
Now we're talking.
30 lanes of axe throwing. They can accommodate.
Why do you need 30 lanes?
I thought it was going to be one, like right. A dartboard.
No,
you'll line up they for can, it.
I think the team building thing we should do with
I
kids.
Agree.
Absolutely.
Yes. And three. How long will it be until one person gets injured there?
With us?
Right?
5 minutes.
Oh, well, yeah. With us, sure. Yeah, that's a given.
It's called LA Axe 30 lanes. No experience necessary.
Oh, always good.
Excellent.
Always good.
Good.
Unbelievable.
So you throw an axe to try and hit a target?
Apparently,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
They're trying to get their beer alcohol license right now. Beer
oh,
wine.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes.
Right now.
Quick FYI on this. The one in Detroit just lost their liquor license because of safety concerns.
Well, on that,
I think we should go.
I mean, sure.
As long as there's a bar next door,
yeah,
then you can
true.
Walk over and throw
oh,
axes.
God, yeah. That's so good. Look, it opens a week from today, but they have a media night on Wednesday, and I was thinking maybe Beer Mug should go.
100%.
Oh, 100% for sure.
He should bring that guy that he always thought. What's the one that
Monty?
Can, Monty, yeah.
So there
I
you go.
I don't want Monty throwing an axe. I don't want Mugs throwing an axe.
If you want to throw an axe, it's in North Hollywood on Coldwater Canyon. That's
what is it called?
Happening.
Does it have
L.A. Axe.
L.A. Axe. Mm-hmm. I dig it. All right, you guys, let's wrap it up with some birthdays. We can get on out of here. Dita Montee, St. Vincent, Bam Margera, Mira Sorvino, Naomi Watts, and Hillary Duff. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Bye.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Someone call someone!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
You're in our house now.
Just like the other one.
Don't do dope.
This one seems to be about quit.
Clean up on aisle three.
And I need another hit.
How can you top the first one? I mean, it's such... It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm speechless about it. I really am.
God damn it, no! No! No!
That guy.
Roll another one.
Who fell off the stage?
Just like the other one.
Represent.
This one seems to be about
spent.
What?
And I don't have another cent.
Funny thing you should bring that up. That's exactly the point I was about to make.
This is Luther Vandross.
Just pass it around.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Anything else they need to know?
Or just pass it on down.
I love Bean.
All right. The way they performed was frankly disgusting.
I gotta go. You best get out of town.
Are you serious? Were you saying that like that? Is this a Western?
I wanted to come up here because I felt like our goodbye, it felt a little cold to me.
In a way, looking back now, I feel like it was pretty appropriate.
Listen, 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 listen. Go, 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 go. Get out. Get out. Idiot.
Where's my sauce?